My name is Ola, that's established. I'm from Syria, from Homs. I left Homs in end of 2013, then lived in Turkey for a couple of years, and I'm in Leipzig since May 2017.
The reason we are talking to you is because we wanted to find out more about Christians in Syria and the Arab world. How many Christians are there in Syria, and is there a difference from before the war and now?
Yeah, so definitely. So before the war, there was around, according to the state, there was 8% of the population were Christians. But according to independent institutions like CIA or California University and so on, it's about 10 to 11.2%. So around 2.3 million Christians in Syria.
And do you have any idea why the state estimated it lower than other organizations?
Most probably because of representation. So in the they it's not like they care, but if you are more than, like, for example, there's certain minorities that are maximized and certain minorities that are minimized. And the reason is the representation in the parliament, so that you don't get more than what you. What they want you to get.
And how is the situation now? Do you know?
Or what? So, yeah, so during the war, the estimation is that between 300,000 to 900,000 Christians have left Syria. Some of them went back. So basically, we're at around 1.8, 1.9 million, or like 8% probably.
Do you know if the reasons that these Christians left, does it in most cases have anything to do with the religion, or is it just independent of the religion?
No one targeted Christians, not on any side of the war. No one had their target to be Christians. But for example, the main thing that drives people out is A, if their areas have been in conflict range. So if there are like clashes or bombardment near them or very close to them. The second reason is military service, because it's mandatory and every male who is 18 or more or not studying or finished studying and so on have to do it. So and during the war, the regime has been calling for more and more men to redo their service. And according to the Syrian law, they can do that. The third reason probably is kidnapping, and kidnapping is happening to everything. Like, everything related to conflict is happening to them wherever they are, so they leave as any other sector leaves.
There may be stereotypes within German communities that Christians are oppressed been oppressed in Syria. How did you experience that, or what kind of view do you have on that?
Well, I would probably divide that into three stages. So before Assad regime, or before the military governance of Syria, Christians were as free as anyone else. In fact, the very first Syrian prime minister was Christian, and one of the main people who established Al-Ba'ath Party. We're not very proud of him, but he was Christian as well. So before the military governance of Syria, everyone was free, including Christians. When Hafez Assad then got in power, he oppressed everyone, like everyone, even his own sect, which is Syrian Alawites or Shia or whatever it is that he thinks he belongs to. And he oppressed everyone. And it was more of a family than mafia that controlled everything. It's not related to any religion, and it's not targeting any religion. It's just oppressing everyone and preferring some people who had like economical good relationship with the regime. Then after the revolution started, and with the war happening in Syria, also, Christians chose where they want to be. Some of them went to with the regime side, and some of them went with the opposition side. And as free as any other religion on each side, they were. Like, on the regime side, everyone is oppressed, they were oppressed. On the opposition side, they had a little bit, like, we had a little bit more freedom. And not if you're living on the ground, but if you're, like, in the society of opposition. So, yeah, it's basically wherever you choose to be, and it's regardless of you being whatever your religion is, the treatment you got as Christian, you would get as Muslim or any other religion.
Yeah. So as horrible as the war is, it sounds like there's, you know, it's as a Christian, it's okay, like in terms of religion. But how do you think, I mean, how is it in comparison to other Arabic states? Or is there any historic reason why it's okay or has been okay for Christians in Syria?
Well, Syria is one of the oldest, like the oldest Christian countries in the whole world. Like the first church was built in Syria, in Homs, in year 59. And that church is got destroyed by the bombardment from the regime because it was in besieged Homs. City.
After more than almost 2,000 years, it got destroyed.
It's been renovated right now, but it got bombed because the church provided shelter to families during the siege. And for the regime, it doesn't matter if it's a church or not. Mm. It's a shelter, we bomb it. Saint Peter is from Syria. And there's a lot of like history, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, she, when Jesus died and resurrected, she then moved into Syria with Saint Luke, and she lived in Syria her whole life. Syria has been like, it's very close to where Jesus is, and it's among the very first states where Christianity spread. Saint Paul started his journey of Christianity in Syria, in Damascus. And there are churches that kind of document all these stories. So when Arabs came to Syria long, long ago, it was more of a trade destination. It wasn't a place where they wanted, like, they converted a lot of Syrians to Islam, of course, because that's how it was done before. Like, the state comes and so. But there was, Christians could keep up. They still lived there. They had their own sense of national belonging, and they continued to do so. And even during the Ottoman Empire, which was probably the hardest time for Syrians, they continued to live because the Syrian communities, Muslims or Christians or whatever other, like there was Jewish at that time, they were close, like they were neighbors, and they were their relationship protected them from whatever ruling that came.
Okay.
And which is what happened during the regime times. It's not that the regime had a police officer at the beginning of every Christian neighborhood protecting it from its Muslim neighbors. It was always that good people took care of each other.
How many churches are there, and do they differ to churches from in Germany?
Yes. So depending on this, many sects in Syria, there's the majority, which is Greek Orthodox. So I'm Greek Orthodox. I'm not saying that because I'm Greek Orthodox, that's the truth. Like probably half Christians are Greek Orthodox. So we have very different structure of our church than what is here. We have this closed temple, and we have this very ancient wooden kind of structure, like regular Orthodox churches. There are other sects. There's Catholics, Greek Catholics, Syrian Orthodox. There's Assyrians. There's Protestant. There's everything. Oh. So, and churches differ depending on the religion, on the sect itself, not on the geographic area. But our churches are kind of older.
Okay. So, and the services as well, and the traditions, do they have more, and are they like in Greece, or still are they still different even from the Greek traditions, for example?
So because there was a lot of saints that are Arabs, they chose to translate the service to Arabic, because there was also some when Arabs came to Syria, some of them were Christians already from Saudi Arabia. That came to Syria, so it was like there's a like this huge Arab community that is Christian. So our service for Greek Orthodox and Greek Catholics, it's in Arabic, but it's basically the same as any other church. Like, we have the same basics and the same structure. And for others, there's the Assyrians. They kept it, whether they're Syriac Orthodox or Syriac Catholics, they kept their services in Syriac, which is the Aramaic language, the old language of Syria. And there's the Armenians. They keep their service in Armenian. But basically, I sometimes used to go to a Syriac church because basically it's the same kind of tradition with the same kind of prayers. So the language is different, but it all makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering if you mix up or how tightly it is separated, these different kind of like Christian groups.
Well, they are separated by churches because they follow different leadership in a different cathedrals and different leaders. Like, Greek Orthodox don't follow the Pope of Rome. Catholics do.
No.
So it's like the structure is different and the type of organization is different. But for people, you can go wherever you want. I mean, I used to sometimes, because in Syria, you have no, if you want to hang around young people, you have no chance of doing that in any other venue than churches or mosques. We have no libraries. We have no interest in parks. We have no, we don't have any social life for young people outside the religion.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you have your friends, but if you want, like, there's school as well, but school is separated. Mm. Boys and girls go to different school, and it's not a lot of fun to be around girls all the time. So if you want to mix stuff up, you have to, like, the church was the only, like, approved, like, society approved venue that you can go to. And yeah, so I used to mix up, like, why stick to Greek Orthodox guys when I can go the whole spectrum. So, like, a lot of young people go around and, like, because, yeah, that's where we have fun.
Wow. And so how is it for you now in Leipzig? Do you attend church here? And because is there a Greek Orthodox church here?
Well, yes.
So my ignorance, I didn't know, sorry.
Because there are so many Christians, Greek Orthodox Christians in Halle in Leipzig, there's a church that it's not yet registered as a church. It's registered as a or society organization or something like that.
Yeah.
But they're trying. I go sometimes. I'm not a regular because, the church kind of disappointed me during the revolution. So I lost this very close relationship with the church. But I go there like in Easter, in Christmas. I take my son so that he can get some of his heritage and his
traditions.
Yeah.
And where is the that?
It's very close, actually. It's in this big church in Wilhelm. Leuchner Platz.
Oh, okay.
This really huge brown church, and we rented, like, the group rented one Sunday every month.
Okay.
And we get there and do the regular prayer. There's a priest, and then we sometimes sit together, get to know each other. And so,
but then is the service in Arabic or German? Or?
Yeah, Arabic, okay. Like regular to what we do in Syria.
Okay.
A little bit different church, but like the building is different and the environment is a little bit different. But yeah, I actually saw many people from Homs in that church again when I came to
Leipzig. You recognized
them? Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, and you say some things like are different. What are there any other kind of things that are different that you haven't mentioned yet?
Between German prayers and Syrian prayers?
For example, yeah.
Well, I haven't been to I have been once to a German Sunday service. I don't think there's any difference. Except for the language, in that I don't understand a lot of it. But like, for example, the Father, Father in Heaven, this prayer that Jesus did, and we do the what we call in Arabic the Constitution of Belief.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's like I believe in one God. That is, I think it's the same.
Yeah.
So it's basically same things, like exactly like we're. Same religion, so we basically believe in the same stuff.
Yeah.
Das war christlich-arabische Musik, denn ich spreche mit Ola aus Syrien über Christentum in Syrien.
You said just before that you were disappointed in church during the revolution. Do you want to extend on?
Well, yeah. Well, that's something that I think many people should talk about. So what happened is that when Assad regime started, like Hafez Assad, there's this in the Sunday service. There's this part where the priest reads a part of the Bible and then explain it to people, or like speak about it, or like preach about it. Or so, and in the Muslim tradition, there's also the same. Every Friday they do this kind of talk, and ever since the Assad regime started, then there have been some points that were given to priests at every church. Every church had someone watching them. They had to say whatever the regime tells them to say.
Okay.
Which was fine until, because there was no dispute. And although many Christians were pro-revolution, and many Christian priests were very humanitarian and very awesome during the revolution, the church is an organization. They did stuff they didn't even have to do. Mm. Like they, for example, issued statements they didn't even have to do in support of a criminal regime that is killing millions of people. They could have been much better peace mediators. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying they should, as an organization, join a political revolution or whatever. But there was a humanitarian situation. Millions were being killed and kidnapped and arrested. And many of those killed and kidnapped and arrested were Christians.
Yeah.
And the church, I remember there was in 2012 where Basil Shadi, that's a Syrian Christian guy who were a movie maker, and he was killed by the regime in Homs for doing a documentary. And he was bombed actually while doing that. And when his body arrived at his church in at his family's church in Damascus, there was a huge amount of people, like Christians, Muslims, whoever wanted to say goodbye to this great guy was there. And the church canceled the service because they knew it was going to turn into a demonstration. And the regime ordered them to do so, and they did so. And that's something you shouldn't abide to, because like this is a dead person of your own group, and if this is his church and so on. So they always chose the safe side.
Yeah.
And sometimes they didn't even have to choose. They just chose it. Like the regime, they allowed the regime, for example, to put artillery guns in the yards of churches and bomb other like areas from them. And yeah, so they took as an organization, again, not as individuals or as individual churches, because as we said earlier, this church in Homs hosted families from other religions. And there were a lot of Christians actually sieged in Old Homs when there was a siege against. There were Christians and Muslims. But again, as an organization, they issued statements they shouldn't issue, and they took positions they shouldn't take.
Okay. I'm trying to think of some sort of last question, something maybe to look into the future. So what would you wish for the Syrian churches for in the future? Is there anything that you would hope for?
I have a hope for whole Syrians, because Christian Syrians are part of the community, and we were so happy with there. Like, it's our home, and like it's everyone else's home. And there are millions of Syrians outside Syria, and I think Christians will only be home when everyone else of their neighbors is home. So only when peace is there, when justice is there, when everyone that is a good person go back to where they were and get their rights and get their compensation, maybe if that's even possible. So my hope is that in the future, if justice is done in Syria and people are back, is that the church plays more of a community redemption or community fixing role, rather than again taking the side of a killer against its own people. I trust that Christians will do. Individual Christians will do, because that's how Syrians are. Like, whether you're Christians or you're Muslim or whatever, you just wanna go back to where you were. Like, I, more than anything else, would like to go back to Homs and live with my old neighbors and with my old church and old university and everything. But that only can be done when everyone is back, not when some selected people that have no problem with the state can go back. Only when everyone can go back and feel safe and feel home. And that can only be done through justice to the whole Syrian people.
Yeah. And like my really final question. Is there anything you would like to say to right-wing Germans that claim, there is no Christians in the Arab world, or that say, it wouldn't be possible for me to enter a church in Syria or the Arab world? What would you like to say to them?
Well, a couple of stuff. First, Jesus is from there. Like, Jesus is from there, and that's something no one can deny. And so, yeah, there are definitely Christians there. I mean, if there are no Christians where Jesus was, then that's a failure to Christianity. Because if it's a success, it will succeed where it is. Christianity is very rooted in Syria, Jordan, Lebanon. I mean, Lebanon is a Christian country. and so in that area, Christianity is very rooted, in Egypt as well and as in other areas. So there are definitely a lot of Christians. They are, before the war, during the war, after the war, they are being treated as any other part of the community being treated. No one is targeting them, and no one has been targeting them. And there are hundreds of churches in Syria. One of them is the oldest in history. One of them is where Saint Paul started his journey. And so there are a lot of churches, and they are open, and people can go there. And just ask Google. They will tell you all about it. The third thing is that I, as Christian, who is living in Germany, Christian Arab living in Germany, I have been better treated by Muslim Syrians than by right-wing Germans. And I'm not asking for different treatment because I'm Christian. I'm just saying that the majority of any people is better than the extremists. And that's obvious to everyone. And it should be also obvious to the right-wing German. The majority, the middle people, people who want peace and who want life, is generally is going to treat anyone better than any extreme groups. No one is better than anyone else. And despite that every extreme group think they're better than everyone else, that's a kind of clue that you're on the wrong place, basically. And the last thing I would say is that Jesus once was kicked out of his home. Jesus is a dark skinned person, and as a child he had to be born in a cave because someone wanted to kill him. And everything that Jesus went through, many millions of Syrian people went through, and they need some compassion. And I would quote Jesus maybe to say that don't fight fire with fire, even if you think that person that is coming towards you is an extreme Muslim and so on. Don't, you will do nothing by hating him. You just, it's just fear that is in your heart, and that's not doing anything. Like, you have to fight fire with love, and that's basically the main thing that maybe we can learn from Jesus.
Thank you very much, Ola Suleiman, yeah. Christian from Syria, living in Leipzig. Thank you.